and the faithfulness of his people to yield to him. And so we think about Father's Day, it's a special day. I would tell you it's a precious thing indeed that God has designed our lives in such a way that you and I have been influenced and cared for by fathers, and also many of us have been influenced by spiritual fathers in our lives. We need to rejoice at what God has done. See, God emphasizes that particular relationship in the Word of God so much, listen, that we find the word mother 300 times in the Word of God. But did you know this, that you'll find the word father over 1,100 times in the Scriptures? It would seem this, that the Lord has a special emphasis for fathers in the Bible. And there's a great reason for this. Our fathers possess God's divine headship for the home. The spiritual direction of any home will be in direct relation to the spiritual leadership, listen carefully, of mom and of dad. And anyone who's grown up in a home with a godly father can say this, that they have been truly blessed of God. There's no doubt about it. A father is not someone simply because they have children, but someone who takes the responsibility of fatherhood passionately. And I think this, we can thank our fathers for their tender love. We can thank our fathers for their willingness to put everyone else first. We can thank our fathers for working tirelessly to provide for the needs of the home and the entire family. We can thank fathers, listen, for making tough decisions. We can thank fathers for teaching us how to work, how to swim, how to ride a bike, how to fix things, and so many others. But I want to submit something to you this morning. You know this, that our earthly relationships are really just a foretaste of the greater relationships that we have in Christ. For instance, you realize this, that if you're a child of God, you are part of the family of God. How many love that blessed hymn, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God"? I love singing that hymn. And I like the tune, but I like the words even better. How many think about this? John 1:12. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." In other words, we're part of the family of God when we receive Christ as our Savior. Even further, husbands, listen carefully. In Ephesians 5, in verse number 25, the Bible says this, "Husbands, love your wives." How are you to love them? That's a good question, isn't it? It says, "Even as Christ also loved the church." So you want to know how to love your wife? Look at how Christ loves the church, and that's how you're to love your wife. It says, "and gave himself for it." And further, we find in verse 31 and 32 of that same chapter, Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and he shall be joined unto his wife, and listen, they too shall be one flesh." But he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning, listen, Christ and the church. Even every fatherly relationship you'll ever experience here on this earth, can I say, is just a lesser picture of the greater experience that you and I are to have in our Heavenly Father. Can I tell you this morning, if you want to be the kind of children God the Father is pleased with, then I'll submit to you this, we must know a little bit about our Father in heaven. If you want to be the kind of father that represents God the Father well, then likewise, guess what? You're going to have to know a little bit about God the Father in heaven. And friends, can I submit something to you also? If you want to be the kind of spiritual mentor that God wants you to be to other individuals, then you're going to have to know something about God the Father as well. And so I want to bring to you a message this morning. If you'll turn your Bibles to James chapter 1, I want us to think about simply the Father this morning. You see, in James chapter number 1, we have some truth that's revealed to us by James about the Father. And as you turn over there to that small letter of James, we begin reading in James chapter 1 in just a moment, down in the 16th verse. But I want you to look at verse number 1 before we even read our text this morning. Notice what the Bible says as introduction to this small letter. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, I want you to understand that this small letter was written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In other words, it's written to Jewish Christians. How many realize this morning that you and I are not part of the 12 tribes scattered abroad? Everybody understand that? Amen. But I want you to be encouraged, because notice in the second verse, verse number 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy. You see, I believe this is where you and I can identify in this letter, in that word brethren. In other words, we're speaking to Christians. It was Jewish Christians, no doubt, but we're speaking to Christians. I believe what I heard an evangelist say is very applicable. We understand not everything in the Bible is written to us, but listen, everything in the Bible is written for us. Amen. It's all written for us. And I want you to understand, there's not one place you'll ever go in this book, whether it's in Genesis all the way through the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, that you will not find some truth or application that God has given to you and me. You see, we often quote the verse of 2 Timothy 3 in verse number 16. It says what? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God breathed all of it from beginning to end. It's his word. But it goes on and says this, it is profitable. And I don't know about you, but I like the fact that it's profitable. Everywhere I read in the scriptures, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So with that understanding, I want us to glean some truth this morning about God the Father. In James chapter number 1, would you stand with me for just a moment? We're going to read verses number 16 through number 18, and then we'll have a word of prayer. And thinking on this subject, the Father. Notice what James says in verse number 16. He says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Notice verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, would you help us this morning as we think on the subject of our Father? Lord, just challenge us from thy word. Help us to understand all that we need to know. And Father, I pray, whether we're simply just a child of God, whether we're actually fathers in the flesh, or whether we desire to be spiritual mentors to other, help us to emulate God the Father in how he deals with us. And then, Lord, I pray we rejoice in those fatherly relationships you've given us here on this earth. But Father, help us to rejoice in the greater relationship that we have with you in heaven. Lord, would you challenge us from your word? I pray, Father, if there's someone here this day that doesn't know Christ as their Savior and heaven's their home, they cannot claim that God is their Father. Lord, I pray they'd enter into a relationship through Jesus Christ, your wonderful Son, and then they can claim to be a child of God. Lord, if there's someone here like that this day, help them to know. Help them to understand that they need Christ. And Lord, I pray by thy Spirit, by thy power, by thy word, you draw them unto yourself. And Lord, we just love you and then we thank you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. Once you understand, as James opens up this epistle and in this passage, he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. What a powerful introduction. And I don't know about you, but when I see that there in that verse number 16, it causes me to perk up a little bit, to pay attention to what James is about to say. You see, it makes a difference what you understand about our Father in heaven. It'll affect you about what you know about God the Father. And I pray this morning that number one, it'll help us to understand how wonderful our Heavenly Father is. And then number two, I pray it is that we understand how we as his children are to follow in his example, in his footsteps. You know this, as a child of God, that you and I represent God the Father every day. And so it would do well for us to know a little bit about our Heavenly Father. First of all, if you're taking notes, would you mark this down? First of all, number one, our Father's character. Our Father's character. As James begins here in this epistle, he gives two verses of great wisdom concerning God the Father. Notice with me, he begins by saying this, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." And then in verse number 17, he says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." And so in this very first verse, we're given a glimpse of the Father's character. Can I tell you, first of all, that our Father's character is that of light. So if you're writing notes, his character is light. You know, as you search the scriptures, we discover that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I was listening to an evangelist, and the evangelist is a pretty famous one. He's traveled around many places, and a young child came up to him after the service and said to this evangelist, Sir, what color is God? And that took him back just a little bit, because sometimes young folks can ask some pretty stark questions in the moment that maybe you don't exactly have an answer for. And this young child, he said, "In all my years, I've never had a young person come up and ask me such a question such as that." And I began to think about that. What color is God? And he said, "I began to search the scriptures, and here's what I came to the conclusion of, that God is light." You see, the Bible says, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5, "This then is the message that we've heard of him and declare unto you." Notice that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You see, I'm reminded of the few passages, the glimpses that we get of the throne of God in the New Testament and also the Old Testament. You'll find in Ezekiel 1:28 and Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 3 that oftentimes the throne of God is being surrounded by light, a rainbow of light around the throne of God. In fact, Revelation 4:3, let me read it to you. "And he that sat upon the throne was to look upon like a jasper, like a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." I'm here to tell you this morning that this symbol of the rainbow, this matter of light, speaks to the perfection and the purity of our wonderful Father and his glorious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, verse number 17, you'll notice it there. Notice what it says here. It says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from," notice these next two words, "the Father." Did you notice it didn't say a Father? It says the Father. In fact, you'll see, my friend, there are many who we call fathers in this world today. But can I tell you simply this morning, there is only one heavenly Father. The Davidic article is used there, and that simply means this, that we've had many fathers we've experienced in this life, whether as fathers of the flesh, whether as spiritual fathers, but there's only one heavenly Father, and we need to know that his character is that of light. It's all light. And so I'm reminded about one of the most beautiful things you and I find out about the city of God that will come one day. At the end of the VBS, one of the themes was is how God is remaking the world, the broken world that we live in. And do you know this? That one day there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Do you know this? That in that day it's going to be perfect. Do you know this? In that day, God is Almighty, is going to rule. Do you know this? In that day, there's going to be a new city in which we hang our hat in. And how about this? That city is going to be lit up, not by the sun, not by the moon, not by the stars, but it's going to be lit up by God the Father and God the Son, the Lord Jesus. It's going to be amazing. Revelation 21:23 says this is pretty amazing. The city had no need of a sun. I imagine it had no need of LED light bulbs either. It says it has no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God is going to lighten that city, and the Lamb is a light thereof. And see, you and I are so used to seeing the sun when we walk outside that God has created, and we're used to seeing the moon that God has placed in the heavens. And I'm rejoicing here in the town of Snow Hill at nighttime. I can go out and I can look up and see all the myriad of stars that God has placed in the heavens. But my friend, do you understand, brighter than all of those, more wonderful than all of those, is God the Father in heaven. It's going to be brighter than anything you ever experienced. And I want you to understand that God's light speaks of His purity. God's light speaks of His perfection. Our Father in heaven is perfect. And guess what? He does only that which is good. Can I challenge you this morning? Maybe there's some fathers here today. Maybe there's some spiritual fathers here today. Maybe there's some children of God here today, that whether you're a spiritual father, whether you're a father in the flesh, whether you're just a child of God, can I challenge you to live your life as light in this world, just as emulating the Heavenly Father? Could I ask the question this morning of you? Is your life characterized by light? Is your life daily characterized by light? See, if we're going to imitate God the Father in heaven, if we're going to claim to be His children, then our lives should be characterized by this matter of light. In fact, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14. He says, "Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set upon a hill." Boy, what a challenging statement in this world. There's a lot of evil. There's a lot of wrong. There's a lot of bad things going on. And Jesus looks to us as His children, as His brothers and sisters in Christ, excuse me. And He says, "Listen, I'm ascending back to the Father in heaven. Ye are the light of this world. You're to be salt in this world. You're to display and represent my Father well in this world." In fact, you'll notice this, that James says, not only is He the Father, but look at the verse again. It says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." And notice it says, "cometh down from" what? "The Father of lights." Now we notice the Father, that definite article. He is the only Heavenly Father. But notice this, He's not the Father of light, but it says He is the Father of lights. In fact, I'll tell you this, every light that's in this world, whether you look around and you see the greater light that shines by day, the sun, or whether you see the lesser light that shines at night, the moon, or whether you're standing out in the field staring up at the stars at the nighttime, do you understand that all of these beautiful lights that we experience is because God set them there? He's the one. The truth then for us is that a good father, one that's emulating God, is one that is walking in light. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 says this, "To every child of God, listen carefully, for ye were sometimes darkness." Hey, that speaks about our before Christ experience. He says, "You were sometimes darkness." He says, "But now ye are light in the Lord." He says, "Walk as children of light." And what a challenge for you and I this morning. I can say this, that if you're a child of God, you're carrying the family's name, and we ought to be walking in light. You see, God the Father, He is described as light. He is the Father of lights. And it's no wonder, it should be no surprise to us also, that as we look in the gospel record of John that we just heard about this morning, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is also called, guess what? The light. In fact, in John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, notice this. It says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." We know him as John the Baptist. "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of," notice it, "the light." And by the way, that's in caps there. It's the definite article, the word "the" there again. And it is simply meaning this, that Jesus Christ is the express image of the invisible God. He's God in the flesh, and He is the light. And so the challenge for you and I today is to walk in the light as He is in the light. We understand, first of all, about His character. Not only is it light, but notice number two, His character is consistent. Consistent. Now the truth of the matter is, if we're looking at ourselves in the mirror, we'd have to understand this, that you and I can be consistently good, or we can be consistently what? Bad. Yeah. Many times, perhaps, we're consistently good, but we can also be consistently bad. And by the way, can I tell you, it is God's design for your life as a child of God to be consistently, guess what? Good. When we speak of our Heavenly Father, though, we understand that by His example, by His demonstration to you and I, He is consistently and perfectly good. In fact, notice in our text, James reveals to us some truth about God. And notice it says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no what? Variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see, James describes God the Father as being perfectly consistent every time as the Father of lights. There's not one time that there's ever a shadow of turning by God. Not one time there's any deviation by God. Not one time is there any turning to the left or to the right out of the way. See, God the Father is consistently good all the time. Can I say this, that you and I have a high and holy example? We have for every father that's here today. Can I say further that we have an example for every spiritual father that's here today? Can I say for every child of God that you and I are to walk not only in the light, but consistently after the true light, which is the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, our Heavenly Father is light and He never changes. He's always good. He's always perfect. But there's something else. Not only do we have our Father's character here, but number two, if you're taking notes, we see in these very couple of verses, not only our Father's character, but notice our Father's care. Our Father's care. What James describes in this passage is not just who the Father is, but he explains to us so that you and I, notice how it started out, that we do not err, so that we do not fall by the wayside, we need to know about our Father's care. Now let me pause here for a moment, and I want you to stop and consider for a second, as we celebrate Father's Day, everyone in this room, how much your fathers or your spiritual fathers have cared for you over these many, many years. I want you to consider that this day. And guess what? I want to encourage you to make it a point when you leave this place to let them know how thankful you are for your Father's care. That's something we ought to do. We ought to be thankful for our fathers. We ought to be thankful for our spiritual fathers. We ought to be thankful for our Heavenly Father and His care for us. Here in our text, James tells us of the Father's care. Notice with me again in verse number 17. We've read it several times, but it says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? It's from above. And it cometh down from the Father of lights. Now, you'll notice in that verse that the word gift is mentioned two times. And can I tell you, if you look there, it's actually two different words that are used there. The first time the word gift is used, it means this, the act of giving, the act of giving. And then the second word of gift that's used there refers to the very gift itself. In other words, James is simply saying this, that God is perfect in what He gives, and He's perfect in how He gives it. How many this morning might raise a hand, would testify and say, Pastor, there's been some good gifts I've received over my lifetime from other people. How many raise their hand and say, boy, there's some in here that's never received a good gift in their life. I feel sorry for you. But listen, every one of us, man, it's good to receive a good gift. Pastor likes good gifts. Especially chocolate gifts. He loves chocolate. All right, so you've been honest with that by raise a hand. Now let's see if you'll take it one step further. How many by raise a hand would say this, that you received a gift that wasn't so good and you just kept your mouth be quiet and you put a smile on your face because you didn't want to make the person feel bad that gave you the not so good gift? How many be willing to admit that this morning? I would tell you about a story about a gift I gave Shannon one time. You can ask her about it later. But it made her cry. I'll just say that. Not tears of joy. But listen, here's the difference. Every gift God the Father gives us is good. Every time. There's not one time that God ever gives us a gift that's not good. we've all received gifts where we've said, oh boy, but the truth of the matter is, that God the Father, number one, every gift that God gives, he says two things. Number one is good all the time, every time. Number two, he says every gift that he gives to you is perfect. It's good and it's perfect. Now listen, not only are the enjoyable things good gifts from God the Father, but friend, can I tell you this morning, because I love you, that the difficult things that God the Father gives you are good and perfect as well. We oftentimes don't like to think that. And in fact, it's in the difficult times that we begin to question whether or not God the Father is actually good. And I'm reminded of the pattern of our Heavenly Father. Think of it. Sometimes a dad or mom has to give some difficult things to their children to help them to learn and grow. And friend, wouldn't you know it is so with our Heavenly Father, with us as well? How many can attest to times that mom and dad put you outside to do some hard work? Amen. Many times my dad sent me out to do some hard work. Do you know this? That was a good gift from my dad. He was teaching me how to work hard. How many can attest to the fact where mom and dad made you suffer the consequences of some dumb thing that you did instead of bailing you out? How many can attest to the fact of that? You realize this? That was a good gift from your parents because they wanted you to be prepared for life and be prepared for a future. And so they allowed you to suffer just a little bit of the consequences of the dumb decision that you made. Why? Because they love you. And friend, I'm just telling you that God the Father gives you good and perfect gifts. And sometimes it is that there's difficult things that come down our way. Why? Because God loves us so much. And friend, our Father in perfection guides our lives. He gives us good gifts. He gives us perfect gifts. Look with me early in this chapter, chapter number 1. Look in verse number 2 through verse number 4. James, in speaking about this, he says this. He says, knowing this, my brethren, I'm sorry, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work in you, that you may be, notice, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Peter, in speaking about the same things, had the same experience. And he declared in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7, he said that the trial of your faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, those trials, those testings, those tribulations, and even those temptations sometimes that God allows us to come into our lives are for our own good. He's teaching us and he's helping us. And the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see, Philippians 2 and verse 13 lets us know this simple truth, that it's God that worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's working something in you. God's working in your life to bring you to conformity of the image of his dear Son. He has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of you. You see, the kind of increase that our Heavenly Father gives is always good and it's always perfect. You see, the very best gift God the Father ever gave that symbolizes his love for us is the fact that he gave his own Son, Jesus Christ. That verse, Isaiah 9:6, we know it around Christmas time. We sing about it, but it says, for unto us a child is born. Aren't you glad that Jesus came into this world being born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood for your sins and for my sins, cried out, it is finished, what he had paid our sin debt, was buried, and 3 days later rose again from the grave. Aren't you glad he came into this world? Amen. Hey man, for unto us a son is given, and unto us a son is born. You realize that God the Father gave God the Son to you. He gave him for you, and he gave him for me. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. God the Father gave God the Son the most wonderful gift you could ever receive. And I say to you fathers, and I say to mothers this morning, I say to the spiritual ones in the church family, have you given the best gift of Christ to others? See, if we're going to emulate God the Father, we need to tell others about Jesus, His only begotten Son. Our Heavenly Father gives good gifts, and the best gift He's ever given is Jesus Christ. I can tell you mothers, I can tell you fathers, I can tell you spiritual leaders. There's no better gift you could ever give your children than to tell them about Christ and then listen to live godly in Christ Jesus. You must go both ways. You must tell them about Christ with your lips, and you must live about Christ with your life. It must be a twofold witness. And so there's no better gift. In Genesis chapter 3, we read of a terrible day in human history. You know about it because you and I are sitting here today. In Genesis chapter 3 is the record of man's fall, man's disobedience to God. It's the day when sin entered into this world. It's the day when we get introduced to death. See, separation from God. God had given nothing but that which was good to Adam and Eve. Go back and read the account. Did you know this? That the only thing the devil could add to Adam and Eve's experience was that of evil. That's the only thing the devil could add to that experience. They had already experienced everything that was good. How do we know this? Because it came from God. In fact, Genesis 1:31, think about it. The Bible says God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was not just good. He says it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. In fact, if you know the account, you'll understand that the Lord said, listen, you can have whatever you want freely, just do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Do you know this? It was a good gift by God to tell Adam and Eve, do not eat of that tree. It was a good gift for him to set limits and say, hey, you don't go over there, don't touch that. By the way, moms and dads, you better set some limits for your children. I don't know what this philosophy is of raising up children nowadays, where you just give them whatever they want, whatever they ask for. Listen, that is not biblical. You need to set some limits for the way in which the children go. And God the Father said, listen, this tree is off limits. But you know this, the devil came along and began to speak to Eve and said this, you know, you're missing out on something. You're missing, God's withholding something from you. In other words, the devil comes along and says, listen, God is keeping back something that's good for you. You remember what James said at the beginning of the passage? What did he say? Do not err, my beloved brethren. He starts out with this warning, and then he says this. Listen, you need to know something about God the Father, that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. In other words, He's perfect all the time. He's good all the time. What He gives us is perfect and good all the time. His thoughts towards you are good all the time. The things that He does in your life are good all the time. And here comes the devil. Says you're missing something. You need to try something else because God's not as good as He says He is. And you know the results after that, as they took of that fruit. And you know the devil comes in and he begins to get in your mind and he begins to get in your thoughts and he begins to get in there and think this. You know, maybe God is not as good as He says He is. Now don't act like you've never had those thoughts before. Because I'm telling you, when you come into a difficult time of life, those thoughts will creep into your mind. You know what you need to do with those thoughts? You need to bring them into captivity and the obedience of Christ, just like the Bible says. He says here that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And the devil says, well, he doesn't have the best intentions for you. It's oftentimes in the difficult times of life that those thoughts begin to creep in. And can I say to you this morning and remind you as we celebrate Father's Day that your Heavenly Father has nothing but good for you. He has nothing but what's perfect for you. And I believe this, if we endeavor to be godly parents and godly fathers and spiritual fathers, then we ought to do nothing, listen, but give that which is good to those around us as well. Not only do we see the Father's character, we see the Father's care, but lastly, I want you to see this, the Father's children, the Father's children. You know, the whole reason we can use the word father is because of the word children. A father is one who reproduces. The most marvelous thing in all the world is that God the Father has made a way for you and I to enter into His family. Isn't that wonderful, the fact that you and I can enter into the family of God? Isn't it wonderful that you can be saved, you can be born again, you can trust in Christ, have your sins forgiven, know heaven's your home, and Jesus is your Savior. You'll spend an eternity with Him. It's an amazing work that God the Father has accomplished, a marvelous thing in this world, that God has made a way for you and I to enter into His family. By the way, there's only two ways you enter into a family. Think of it. You enter in by adoption, or you enter in by birth, one way or another. Do you know this? In the New Testament, when we're speaking about the family of God, both are mentioned as ways we enter into the family of God, both by adoption and both by spiritual birth. The new birth, number one, is the miraculous work of God. It's a miraculous work of God. Verse 18 says, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. The miracle is that you and I can enter into the family of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, we don't need just a change of name. We need a change of nature. We need a new birth. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3, as Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, that you must be born again, not only to see the kingdom of God, but you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. And that's what every person needs in their lives, is to be born again, to trust in Christ. And can I ask the question, as we begin to close, have you been born again? Do you know that you have a heavenly Father? Have you trusted in Christ? See, there's only two ways to enter in, by birth and adoption, and both are through Jesus Christ. You say, what's the word of truth? James tells us, He begat us of His own will by also the word of truth. The word of truth is the glorious gospel. It's the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's how you enter in, by trusting in Christ and hearing the gospel. Jesus Christ, the Logos, the expression of God, is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. The Bible tells us in the book of Timothy that the Scriptures make us wise unto salvation. Why? It's in the Bible that we find about the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so when someone trusts in Christ, we see not only the miraculous work of God, but then secondly, as we close, the marvelous influence of God. The second half of the verse, it says that our Heavenly Father begot us by the word of truth, and then it says this, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. James is saying this, that if you're a child of God, you're distinctly His. You're distinctly His. You carry the Father's name with you. And can I ask the question as we close for every Christian that's here, does it mean something to you that you carry the Father's name? Does it mean something to you? I hope it means something to you. I'm looking at the Myatt family right here. Boy, they're taking up 2-3 rows right here. I'm so glad y'all are here this morning. I hope it means something to you that you carry the last name Myatt. But greater than that, I hope it means something to you that you carry the Father's name. You see, we represent God the Father. A young boy once asked the father, Dad, why is it so important that I tell people my last name? His father replied, because that name was carried by thy grandfather, by his father before him. And every time you introduce yourself, you're not just representing yourself, but you're representing your entire family. The boy thought about it and asked, so if I do something wrong, does it mean I affect the family name? The father said, yes. And if you do something right, it honors the family name. It wasn't until years later that the boy understood, when people heard his last name, they immediately connected him to his father. His actions either brought honor or shame to the name he carried. As we close, we could ask the question, what do others discover about the family of God from His children? What do others discover about the family of God as we carry His name? Do we carry our Father's name for His glory, or do we bring shame to Him in the name that we carry? Here in the passage, if you'll notice, it says that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. The operative word should. There's a lot of things you ought to be as a child of God. You ought to be a child of light. You ought to be consistent living in Christ. You ought to be distinctly His. People ought to know that you're a child of God. And as we give honor to our earthly fathers, I believe this, we ought to rejoice in knowing, first of all, our Father's character. We're challenged this way that He is all of light, just as our Father never changes. You and I ought to be consistent in our walk with Him. We see our Father's care. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from Him. Our God is good all the time. And lastly, we're challenged to live in a way that pleases Him and gives honor to Him. As we close, maybe the challenge for you today is to recognize the Father's character. Oftentimes, in the most difficult situations, we might question our Father's character. There are things that happen in this life. You might ask, Pastor, why did this happen? I'm going to throw my hands up oftentimes, just like you. I have no idea. But I do know one thing. It might be impossible to understand this side of glory, but I do know this one thing. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I don't have an explanation for everything, but I major on what I know about my God, that He's good and that He loves me. You and I must take by faith the truth of this verse. And James says that you do not err. And that is that God is the Father of lights. Maybe for others this morning you'd have to admit that you've not been living a life that well represents God the Father. Maybe that's you. You haven't been walking in the light. You haven't been consistently good. Maybe you realize this morning as a father, as a spiritual father, as a spiritual mentor, I haven't been representing God the Father well. Can I challenge you to ask God to help you this morning to live in such a way that everyone else around you knows that you're a child of God? Maybe for others, you just want to come forward and thank God for His care in your life. I know it's a tough question, but have you thanked God for the trials that He sent your way? Have you thanked God for the trials that He sent your way to bring you closer to Him? Maybe you want to thank God the Father that He's given you a father or a spiritual father. And then lastly, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can't claim that God's your Father if you don't know Christ. I would invite you to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father today by repenting of your sin and by faith trusting in Him, Christ, and Christ alone. Then you can leave this place and say, listen, I've got a Father in heaven who loves me and cares for me. Let's have a word of prayer.